Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We're about to have a conversation with James Blue, who's been with us many times before, independent producer. They've now been an executive producer of this small documentary piece that'll be on BET on August 28th called Michelle Obama on a Mission, Impact Africa. And James Blue, good to have you back with us once again.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
So this documentary is about the trip that Michelle Obama took to South Africa.
Yeah, basically, the White House and BET were in conversations for several weeks, almost months, trying to figure out what could BET do to try to show our audience exactly what it is, to have the Obama family in the White House, what it is they do, and the decision was made, let's figure out a major trip and accompany the Obamas on that trip. And so Mrs. Obama decided, very obvious reasons, to take a trip over to Southern Africa. It allowed her to promote her agendas of youth empowerment, women's empowerment, and healthy living in many, many ways. And BET was given insider access. We traveled with the First Lady and her entourage, and we were able to create, I think, a very intimate portrait of Mrs. Obama and her young daughters and her mother and niece and nephew, really showing people, what a trip, what a diplomatic trip is in the 20 minutes that we had available.
A diplomatic trip, it was that. But what struck me more than the politics of a diplomatic trip, which is not really what you focused on, but was the what Michelle and Barack Obama mean. This is one of the texts, to Africa, what it means to African people, what it meant to the young people she met in South Africa.
Right. I think you're right. That was the way we sort of told the story, by showing all of these interactions that Mrs. Obama had with people and, their reactions and responses to her. But don't discount, there is an element of diplomacy in those interactions. And just for an example, the first event that Mrs. Obama did was to go to the U.S. Embassy in Pretoria and meet with key South African figures. And these are members of the parliament, members of the executive branch of government, key freedom fighters. There's always been a tension historically between African Americans and black South Africans. Although there was a lot of cooperation during the anti-apartheid movement, there's always been a bit of discomfort in that relationship. And so what Mrs. Obama was able to do, and I'm told this by members at the highest levels of the South African Foreign Affairs Office, she was able in a morning session with key influencers in South Africa, newspaper editors, key business people, to really kind of melt away some of the resentment and hurt and other slights that have been perceived or misperceived by both sides, really, in just spending time with people. And that, again, isn't necessarily sort of official diplomacy, mm-hmm. but it certainly has a very serious and significant impact on the relationship between the U.S. and South Africa. The head of the U.S. desk said that the relationship has moved so far forward based on the success of the trip. And again, part of that success was the way in which Mrs. Obama was able to spend time with regular South Africans and sort of paint her story and the story and struggles of black people in the U.S. and sort of to paint that picture and to connect it with the struggles in South Africa.
And she did that. I'm going to play a short clip here of what she said to this church in Cape Town, I believe.
No, actually, this is at Regina Mundi.
Yes, Regina Mundi, right.
In Soweto. And, this was a church that was really at the forefront of the movement, and they decided, I think quite wisely, not to clean it up, not to remove the bullet holes, but sort of keep it there as it was during the apartheid years, during the struggle years. And that's where she gave her keynote address during the entire visit.
Let's hear a little clip of this.
Next stop, Soweto, the cradle of the anti-apartheid movement. This is where it all began. Mrs. Obama is speaking at the Regina Mundi Catholic Church, which served as a sanctuary and meeting place for activists.
It has been more than three decades, but those bullet holes in the ceiling, this broken altar, still stand as vivid reminders of the history that unfolded here.
76 young women leaders from across the African continent are in the audience, hanging on her every word.
It is a story that has unfolded across this country and across this continent, and also in my country. The story of young people 20 years ago, 50 years ago, who marched until their feet were raw, who endured beatings and bullets and decades behind bars, who risked and sacrificed everything they had for the freedom they deserved. And it is because of them that we are able to gather here today. It is because of them that so many of these young women leaders can now pursue their dreams. It is because of them that I stand before you as First Lady of the United States of America.
So, James, and let's talk about what she was just saying. I mean, this is a pretty powerful statement, connecting these struggles, connecting why she, making it clear why she could be First Lady of the United States of America.
It was very powerful because it acknowledges the real, you know, it acknowledges what a milestone President Obama's election has been, and it does so in a way that makes it very real, because in South Africa you still have, you know, millions of people who, although they have attained political freedom, are still struggling for economic opportunity. And so in some ways it maybe provides a path, it provides a guide of what the possibilities are. Of course, South Africa is a majority black country, but in short years, they've moved and they do have a thriving democracy. And what Mrs. Obama was able to do was to sort of show them that her ability to be First Lady and their ability to attain freedom are part and parcel of the same struggle. And I thought it was very, very effectively done.
And clearly, one of the things that is obvious in this brief film is how not just moved the people of South Africa were, the young people of South Africa, but how deeply moved she was.
And that goes to the depth of feeling of that I think she brings to the table. And, you know, we ask her, what is it that you bring to this job compared to other First Ladies? And she was very modest and said, look, I don't want to compare myself. I just want to do what it is I do. But there is a depth of feeling. There is a genuineness. And, you know, she told us, and I think we include this in the program, she just wants people to know that they are special. You know, she said, who knows what a First Lady is? But if I can spend time with people and they feel better about themselves and they understand that someone cares about them, that really is important. And I'll just say, in our visit to Botswana, she attended an event that was recognizing young girls who had started college at the University of Botswana. And the young lady who introduced her was the daughter of a drunk who didn't do much for her daughter. And Mrs. Obama told this young lady, Impo, that she believed in her. Impo said to us that's the first time anyone in her life had ever told them that they believed in her. And I mean, that's just amazing. And again, I think it speaks volumes to what Michelle Obama believes she can do as First Lady.
And let's just play that clip too, and we'll come right back.
My mother is a drunkard. Whenever she comes here, she causes trouble.
Empo was raised in one of Gaborone's poorest neighborhoods by an aunt who braids hair to put food on the table. Her mother left when she was just a baby. found solace in church and support from community elders. They've stood behind her dreams of becoming an engineer.
I want to design cars.
You want to design cars?
Oh, I could use a car.
I really want to work with the Land Rover. I really love the Land Rover.
Mrs. Obama's vote of confidence changed her life. What was it like for you? I mean, she hugged you. She said that she believes in you, that she has faith in you. She says that she knows you're going to go far. What's it like to have the First Lady of the United States say that about you?
It was actually my first time to hear somebody say that to me. Mm-hmm. I know people believe in me, but they've never said that to me. So that gave me confidence and strength to keep on going.
You know, James Blue, as we're sitting here talking about this wonderful little documentary that will be on BET August 28th, which is the day of the unveiling of Martin Luther King's memorial in Washington, D.C., Michelle Obama on a Mission Impact Africa that you executive produced. One of the things that I think that, at least for me, I'm curious what you think, is the political, emotional effect that having an African-American family in the White House has, taking away the politics moment, but I'm talking more about the power of history and the visceral sense that history has on people and what it means to America, but what also means to Africa. I mean, this is huge when you think of the history of this country and the history of Africa, seeing a black family in the White House and what that means to people that you saw in South Africa.
It is unbelievably powerful. And, you know, in many ways, going to Africa just reminded me of how much more powerful, their presence in the White House really is. And, you know, spending time as close as we were able to spend time with them, just realizing, you know, yes, she's the First Lady, but she's also a pretty regular person. And part of that, for me, recognizing that she's regular, she also happens to be black, as am I, which I know sounds crazy, but, you know, you understand it. You know, she went to Princeton, I went to Princeton. We have, you know, a few things in common. And, you know, that was never really possible with all the other occupants of the White House. And in Africa, it really helped the young people there. You saw it in their reactions that she really is one of them. As one of the young ladies said, she came down to our level. She did not sort of stand on formality. She did not sort of lord over people. She was just sort of regular Michelle. And she often says, and she told us this during one of our conversations, you know, she really marvels at all the press coverage, and sometimes she thinks, Michelle Obama, who is that? You know, given all the lines that are written about her. Because, you know, she just says, look, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, and I'm trying to do the best by my family, and anything else I can do is all gravy.
Well, she does, I mean, come off very real. I mean, that one scene you're talking about where she says, we might play a little bit of this right here, where she just said that who is Michelle Obama? I'd like to meet her. She's an interesting person. I mean, that's, you know, because I think that you also get that she's still kind of amazed and shocked that she's gone from being this woman who was involved in the corporate health world, married to a senator, and now she's First Lady of the United States of America.
But you can even take it back beyond that. You know, being a young woman from a middle-class black family, growing up in Chicago, and to rise, it just speaks volumes, and this again goes to the emotional power, speaks volumes of the possibility of this country, and it really confirms in every way the beliefs and the ideals that we hold, that anyone can become and do anything they want.
And, you know, when she, at the beginning of the film, the documentary, she talks about how when she was growing up as a kid, as a middle class African American woman, working class woman, young woman, that nobody ever thought about getting a passport. Nobody thought about visiting another country and seeing another culture. And part of what she's doing here in this small documentary that you made for BET is to say to the world, especially the African American working class, middle class world, there's a world out here. You can explore it. You have to discover it. It's part of who you are.
Right. There's a world out here. It's open to you. You must seize it. There are things that you can do that will make it possible for you to, to have the world at your door. And she's specifically trying to show people. That's one of the reasons why they invited BET along, trying to show people what those possibilities are. Because I think she's right. My family was a little different. My mother had lived in the UK for a while before she married my dad. So we had family and relatives living overseas. So I think we traveled a bit more than most people.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, middle class black folks didn't have passports, didn't travel internationally. And she is trying to help people understand what those possibilities are by bringing BET along on this trip.
I was also kind of amazed a little bit that she allowed her daughters to actually be filmed as part of when they were reading in this lovely clip here.
I know. I think that's partly a result of their becoming much more comfortable with, the public role they do have, although they are, private citizens who just happen to be the daughter of the president. And, the setting is such a wonderfully strong, important setting that, it's just a great scene.
So tell me, James, I'm just curious. You've done all these years in Nightline, all these documentaries you work on, you've done a lot. I'm curious what, in this particular sojourn to South Africa, and usually this happens at least somewhere along the line, what took you back the most? What took you aback, I should say, the most?
Well, I think for me, and the other element I would add to this, my children were born in South Africa. My children were born were cared for in an orphanage in Johannesburg. So my personal connection to the place is quite strong. And what really took me back was the whole idea that my son and daughter, who happen to be orphans of Africa, now have as role models, Michelle and Barack Obama, who are, going all over the world representing this country and trying to change things for good. It just really was powerful in my mind about the possibilities of the world that we live in.
Hmm. Did they go with you, by the way?
I'm sorry?
Did they go with you?
No, they did not go with me. My kids, we're very lucky. Our kids go to camp for 3.5 weeks in Maine every summer.
Uh-huh.
And, we love dropping them off, but we love picking them up even more. So this was during the time they were in Maine. So they did not go with me. My daughter said, "Oh, I want to come meet the Obama girls," and it hasn't happened yet.
But it may happen. You never know.
Who knows?
Who knows? And you will be when this is playing on BET on the 28th. You'll also be at the ceremony.
Yeah, I am producing a program for BET. It's an hour long special that is going to televise the actual dedication of the memorial. Something that President Obama is going to do, and we're really going to come up with a program that tries to put Dr. King's legacy into a perspective. If you imagine, I don't know this for a fact, but I imagine that most African Americans, most people living now, were probably not around when Dr. King died. And so in many ways, our memories of him are from other people and from the documents and the speeches and what have you. So what I want to do is sort of try to come up with a conversation about what does his legacy really mean when you have so many people who were not part of that struggle, when he was alive. Certainly we're all beneficiaries to it, but how do you really make what he was striving for, how do you make that contemporary? And I think that's the conversation I'd like to try to get out there on the day of the dedication.
Well, that's just phenomenal. I want to encourage everyone, by the way, with the The entire unveiling will be here on WEAA. We'll be broadcasting live from the Martin Luther King Memorial's unveiling on August 28th. And at 7:30 p.m. on BET, Michelle Obama on a mission, Impact Africa, that was the executive producer with us, who lives here in Baltimore, James Blue. And Ola Ogunaki is the narrator and on-air correspondent for this wonderful short documentary, Michelle Obama on a Mission Impact Africa. And James Blue, thank you so much, and looking forward to seeing what you come up with on MLK's memorial unveiling.
Thank you so much, Mark. You know, I think this is an important time, and I'm really just glad that BET is devoting the resources and the airtime to allow us to remember it.
Me too. Take care, James, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advancing stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538.